Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you did not bring a Bible with you, I encourage you to use a pew Bible. We're going to preach through John chapter 21 this morning. I've divided it up into four sections. John chapter 21. I actually got the motivation to preach this message. I was going to preach on another topic, but last Sunday morning at the end of the service, when I gave the invitation, I was about to close off the invitation, and then I had to sing the chorus one last time, and I mentioned in that part of the invitation that maybe there was someone there that they just hadn't been walking with the Lord in quite some time. And maybe they would use Easter service to get back into church or start to read their Bible again, however the Lord led. And then we finished. And afterwards, as people were leaving, someone came up to me and they said, well, that last part of the invitation, that was for me. That was for me. And so I thought about that. And this week, not really pertaining to the message, I just decided to read through the four gospel accounts of after the resurrection and what took place. And I was drawn to John chapter 21 because you remember that the apostles, not only Peter is the most pronounced, but all of the apostles, they denied the Lord. Peter, of course, denied the Lord three times. And John chapter 21 really is dealing with the Lord publicly dealing with Peter and getting Peter back on track. So I want to look at that this morning. And so the message is entitled Simon Peter and Faith Reset. So follow along if you would please, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. John chapter 21 and verses 1 through 22. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And would you just read these three last words out loud together with me? Follow thou me. Very good. Let's pray. Lord, we ask now that you'd bless the preaching this morning. Help me as I preach this message. Please give me the physical strength and the spiritual strength to bring this message in such a way that it draws us closer to you. And Lord, I do pray that maybe there's someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would bring conviction to their heart, the reality of their need, and today they would call upon Jesus as their Savior. Thank you again for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please use me as your instrument and as your vessel, again, despite my own faults and my own weaknesses, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, and after these things, and of course, the after these things here is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and perhaps we could even, the three-year ministry when Peter walked with the Lord, because there's going to be, I believe, a reference to all of that ministry. But Jesus, of course, has been risen from the dead, and we could go back to the Gospel of Luke and see Jesus meeting the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And last week, of course, I preached on who will roll away the stone and the women going to the stone and then the disciples running to the tomb. And Jesus, of course, is not there. He's risen. If we just went back a chapter in the book of John, it's the account of doubting Thomas, who when told that Jesus had risen from the dead, he didn't believe. And he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand. And Jesus, of course, shortly after that, appears to him and says to Thomas, go ahead and touch me. And the Bible says that Thomas cries out, my Lord and my God. He doesn't doubt any longer. So all of these things have taken place. And now the scene has shifted from Jerusalem to Galilee. The disciples have returned to Galilee. Jesus told them, I want you to turn there, but if you want to look at it yourself, if you went to Matthew chapter 26 and Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 26, 32, for instance, Jesus said to them this, But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So Jesus told them that he would see them again in Galilee. Of course, Galilee is the northern part of Israel. And that's where the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Capernaum had taken place, and before they traveled down to Jerusalem. And that's where Peter was from. That's where many of the disciples were from. And the Sea of Tiberias, of course, is the Sea of Galilee. It's just another name for it. And Peter and James and John, they had been fishermen there. So now they have returned back home. And this is where the account takes place. So I've divided these verses up into four points, if you notice on your handout. First, it's Peter reset. a reset. I had to ask Ethan this because, you know, I don't know if they use the term reboot any longer on a computer or whatnot. Like, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm really not, it sounds kind of strange, but, you know, computers and telephones and all the technology, I'm glad for it. But, you know, when I have to program something, I turn to my daughter, I say, here, Lydia, take this and fix this for me. Make it work. But ironically, I was trying to think of an illustration on what it means to reset or to reboot something. And so I went to print out the outline that you have in your hand, and it wouldn't print in our computer, and it wouldn't print in our copier. So I had to reset the copier. Now, that's not a difficult thing to do. And I went, you shut it off, you count to 60, it resets itself, and then you turn it back on. But I tried about four times to copy these notes, and they wouldn't copy. And then I went, I just shut the printer off, and waited a minute, turned it back on, and I had to reset it. Well, in Peter's life, and in your life, and my life, there are times that we just need a spiritual reset, a spiritual reboot. And this was going to take place in Peter's life. Now, Jesus had already met with Peter privately. And this is going to be, if you will, a public demonstration of this. And I think it was not only for Peter's sake, but it was for the other apostles' sake as well. Let's not ever forget, too, if you read through the Gospels, that not only did Peter, I said this earlier, not only did Peter deny the Lord, but all the other apostles fled. They also left. And they're going to see Peter publicly restored to ministry here, and I believe that's going to be an encouragement to the other apostles as well as to Peter. But I really thought it was ironic, because look at the verses I put for you on the handout. Peter is going to be reminded of some things in these verses that we've read. And it is going to be Jesus reminding him of some things that is going to allow Peter to go back to the main call in his life, the ministry that Jesus has called him to. And I found it ironic, but later on Peter would write in Peter's epistle, he says this to believers, to you and I. Wherefore, he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, that means his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And if we return back to Peter, he talked there about, he was writing to believers, and he was talking about our precious faith. Peter was saying later on, much later on from what we read here in John, he said, I want to always put you in remembrance of our precious faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The divine power of Christ upon our lives. He says there earlier, he says, the precious promises of God's Word and how we have escaped the corruption of this world, and that now we have a divine nature. Peter said, I'm going to put you in remembrance of this over again and over again and over again. And I found it really ironic in the sense that here, Peter in his early ministry, he had to be reminded of some things. He had to have a reset. He had to have a reboot. But then later on, he tells believers, listen, you're regularly going to need a reset. You're regularly going to need a reboot. One of the great verses in the Bible, they're all great, but one of my favorite verses is in Lamentations where Jeremiah says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And he goes on and he says this, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, in reality, you and I, with regards to our faith, it can start brand new every day. Not in the sense that you have to get saved again. Once you're saved, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. But why do you think all of these years I've been the pastor here, it's not just me, any Bible-believing pastor would say the same thing, why do you think I'm always encouraging you to start out your day and spend some time in God's Word and spend some time in prayer? Because God's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And you and I may not have denied the Lord like Peter did those three times. But the reality is each and every day the Lord says, listen, I want to give you a... Today's a new day. Have you ever had a bad day? I think we've all had bad days at one point or another. Where things, for one reason or another, did not go well. Maybe they didn't go well spiritually. Maybe they didn't go well at work. Maybe they didn't go well at home. Some days could be worse than others. You might have had a catastrophic day. But every day can be a new day. Amen? Every day can be a reset. Every day can be a fresh day. Peter's whole life was going to be reset. And so look at, if you will, he says in verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael. So all the disciples are gathered there, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Simon says in verse 3, well, I'm going to go fishing. Now, there's been whole messages that have preached about I'm going to go fishing, whether it was right or whether it was wrong. Personally, I don't think it was really wrong what Peter was doing. I don't personally believe that Peter was going to go back to the fishing business. And I think they were fishermen. They needed to eat. Let's go out and get some fish. We need to eat. And so the other disciples, they said, well, all right, let's go. We're going to go fishing with you. Some of you love to fish. Amen? And another wrong of fishing. But they go back out to fish. And so there they are. And they go into the ship and they're out that night. And as they're fishing in verses 1 through 4, all of a sudden, it's morning. And there's Jesus standing on the shore. It's all part of the reset. It's all part of what's taking place. And at first the disciples, they didn't know that it was Jesus there. But then he speaks to them. And it really brings us to the second point. The Lord uses this event to refresh them. And so he calls to them. And he says, do you have any meat? Have you caught any fish, is what he's saying. And they say they had fished all night. And of course, Jesus knew. No, we don't have any. And Jesus says that he gives them some instruction. Well, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And so they did. They cast it on the other side of the ship and there were so many fish. There were so many fish that they could barely pull the net in. Success was the difference between the width of the boat. Success was the difference between just allowing Jesus to begin to work in their lives. And it's true with us as well. I just mentioned, have you ever had a bad day? Most days I start in the Word of God, and most days I start with a time of prayer. Sometimes it's a little bit longer, sometimes it's a little bit shorter, but I have to, in all honesty, say to you, there have been days when I had a busy day. I've had the last 6 weeks have been very busy 6 weeks for me. There's been a lot going on, not only here at church, but in my family and then in my wife's family, and just a lot of things happening. I'm looking for tomorrow. I'm leaving on vacation. I'm looking forward to going on vacation. But there have been days where so much was on the plate, and it doesn't happen often. It shouldn't happen at all, but sometimes it happens. I get going, and I start getting things done. And things just are not going right. Things are just, first of all, I haven't had my time that I spent with the Lord in the morning. I really haven't had a time of prayer. And it just seems like some days, and I thank the Lord for this, I can cram an awful lot into one day. But some days it just doesn't seem like everything's falling into place and nothing's going right. And I have to tell you, in my years of walking with the Lord, some of those days, it's a day that I just haven't started out right. And it could be now 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember one day this happened a long time ago, but I was busy, and things were just not going right. I had to bring in firewood, And I'm under my porch. I don't know where my kids were. They should have been bringing in the firewood. But I'm bringing in firewood, and I turned my head, and I banged my head on one of the rafters. I just sat down, and nothing was going on. And I realized, you know, I just hadn't started the day with the Lord. And so there's a multitude of other things that were happening. And if you had driven by, you would have seen this guy sitting under my porch. Many of you have been to my house, sitting under that porch, just sitting there weeping and talking to the Lord. You know, sometimes success each day is the difference between 5 minutes that we spend with the Lord. It doesn't always have to be a half an hour or whatever. Sometimes it's just 5 minutes that we spend with the Lord. Well, did your day go better? I don't remember. It probably did. But it went better because I spent some time with Jesus. How can you go wrong? Amen? Peter was going to be refreshed. And so Jesus says to them, listen, you didn't catch any fish all night? All right, go ahead and throw the net on the other side. By the way, if you know anything about the life of Peter, he'd been here before and done this before with Jesus. And so they do. And they couldn't believe the amount of fish. In fact, where it said there in verse 11, it said that they took all the fish and there was 153 fish. And I thought about that. There's probably been whole sermons preached on the number 153. I think there were so many fish that they said, we've never caught this many. Let's count them and see how many fish we have. Because this is unbelievable. It reminds me of a time when I grew up in New Jersey. We used to go bluefish fishing off the coast of New Jersey. We would fish at night, and it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it, and I like bluefish only if you cook them on a grill. Don't cook them in your house because your house will smell like bluefish for about a month. But one night we literally were dropping our lines in, and before you could almost get the line in, we caught so many fish that we brought the fish to the dock, and often there would be people who own restaurants at the dock. We brought so much fish home, and we sold so many fish that we paid for the entire fishing trip. It was a lot of fish. We were tired. Well, these disciples, they were excited. And I want to tell you, in our lives, when God wants to do a reset or God wants to do a reboot in our lives, He'll use something to refresh us. And He takes these circumstances. Listen, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like, you know, I need a reset in my life. Maybe you have walked away from the Lord in one area of your Christian life or another area of your Christian life. And maybe you need a reset. Maybe you need God to refresh you as well. Listen, God still wants to do great things with your life. I don't care who you are, God wants to do great things with your life. Well, what do you mean, great things? Listen, whatever God wants to do with your life is a great thing. Because you're allowing God to use you as an instrument and God to use you as a vessel. You don't have to become some famous preacher or some famous missionary. You just need to let God use you. And let God use you any way that God wants. And you're doing a great thing. Because it's not you, it's God doing it through you. But God will use things in your life to refresh you, to renew you. Jeremiah 33:3 on your handout, Jeremiah said this, and talk about a man who went through a lot of travail in his life. Jeremiah penned these words that God spoke to him, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Listen, God will do a great work in your life. Don't allow yourself to be convinced that you're done, that God just wants to put you on the shelf somewhere. God wants to use you. He can use every one of us. As I said earlier, you may never reach the point where Peter, like Peter, where he denied the Lord. But sometimes because of disappointments in our lives, sometimes because we get discouraged in one area or another, sometimes we see someone desert the faith and kind of go off and do their own thing and stop following Maybe it was a dear brother in Christ. Maybe it was a sister in Christ. Maybe a son or a daughter is not walking with the Lord, and you get discouraged by that, and you just kind of want to give up. Well, when you're in a situation like that, you need a reset. You need a reboot. Let God do something in your life. Let Him do something in your life. Just as He did in Peter's life. And so there they are hauling this in. Verse 8, and the other disciples, they're watching this. They came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, and they're dragging the net of fishes. And when they were come, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Dinner's already made. Jesus has got it already going. And don't miss the point there. There's Jesus taking care of their needs. Jesus is about to teach them something, but He's taking care of their needs. Verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And now Jesus is going to begin to remind them of some things, especially Peter. Don't you think perhaps Peter, when he saw those coals that were burning there with the fish, was reminded? Remember, if you remember from the Gospels, when Peter denied the Lord, you remember that he was around the hot coals trying to stay warm? In verse 13, Jesus came and He took bread and He gave it to them, and fish likewise. Reminded it was the third time that He appeared unto them. And three times Jesus asks Peter that question in verse 15 and verse 16 and verse 17. Three times. By the way, too, do you notice this too, having Peter and the apostles, that they had denied the Lord, that here Jesus doesn't rebuke them for their denial? He doesn't put them down. He doesn't say to them, oh, you guys really messed up. Peter, how could you deny me like that? How could you fail me like that? But three times He asks that question. Peter, lovest thou Me more than these? Verse 16, the second time, Simon, Jonas, lovest thou Me? And each time Peter said, Lord, I do. What was He asking him, by the way? What do you think it was that he was asking that he loved more? Sometimes, I've heard messages on this. Well, Peter had gone back to fishing, so Jesus was saying, why are you fishing? Do you love fishing more than you love Me? I want you to make sure that you understand that I've called you to a ministry. I don't think it was that. Or how about the disciples? He looked at the disciples and, do you love Me? Do you love these disciples more than you love Me? And I've heard that sometimes applied to this. I don't think it was that either. Again, I personally think it was this. When He asked that question three times, I believe He was asking them this. Is your love for Me greater compared to even the disciples' love for Me? Do you love Me even greater than these disciples love Me? You see, part of reset is reminding ourselves that not only do we need to be refreshed in the Lord, but we're reminded that our first love has to be Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, I have for your on your handout the seven churches there. The church of Ephesus was commended for many things. They were commended for their work, their labor, their patience. The Bible says, they could not bear them which were evil. There were those that came in that said that they were apostles, and they weren't. They were false teachers. But Jesus said this to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've lost your first love. you know it's perfectly possible for a church like ours, where we can go, you know, you can begin to go through the motions. You can begin to come and you know, well, it's Sunday, so I go to church. I'm supposed to go to church and I sing the songs and I bring my Bible and I give my offering. And even in your daily walk with the Lord, I'm supposed to have my, the pastor, he's always preaching at us, spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time in prayer. By the way, if you're doing it because the preacher's telling you to do it, then you've lost your first love. You do that. I'm encouraging you to do that because love has to be nurtured. Just like a husband and a wife, both of them have to continue to nurture their love. Just like a parent to a child, the parent nurtures the child's love. Now, God's love for us never has to be nurtured. It's always abounding. But our love always has to be built up in the faith. It always has to be nurtured. And it can become so routine that that's all it is just routine. You can have all the right stance and all the right sayings and have all the right look. But the question is your love for Jesus? You have a burning desire in your heart for Jesus. You can have all the actions, but do you have the right attitude? Now, by the way, the reason I think that the question here that was asked was not about do you love fishing more than you, or do you love me more than you love fishing? And I don't think it was that. Or do you love me more than you do these other disciples? I don't think it was that. Peter, do you love me more even than these disciples here love me? And those disciples love the Lord. But the reason I think that's the case, look at verse 18. Because Jesus goes on and he says this to him. After he tells him to feed his sheep, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Remember when Peter, before Jesus was crucified, remember what Peter said? Lord, I love you so much that I am ready to die for you. I love you so much that I'll go to prison for you. And not long after that, he denied the Lord. And Jesus goes on and he says this in verse 18. After that, he says, okay, he says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He says this, listen, Peter, you better love me because you're going to be, Peter would be crucified. Peter would be put to death. If we believe tradition, Peter was martyred for the faith like most of the apostles. They were put to death. Thomas was speared. Tradition says, preaching the gospel in India. Andrew went to the was taken to the top of a tower, and they said, you either recant your faith in Christ or we're going to throw you off this tower. And church tradition says he would not recant, and they threw him off that tower. Peter was crucified, but when they took Peter to crucify him, Peter said, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So if you're going to crucify me, you crucify me upside down. And that's how Peter died. You know, Peter, he could have just, wow, I denied the Lord three times. I'm done. I'm used up. God doesn't want anything left. There's nothing left for me. And Jesus is here to say, no, Peter, we're just getting started. So whoever you are, you might say, you know, I've denied the Lord. Maybe not like Jesus or like Peter did, but I've denied him. And I've stopped this. And listen, there's a reset. There's a reset you can have every day. And I find it interesting, too, that Jesus brings Peter back to where it all began. We're almost done. Just take your Bibles, keep your finger here, and go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5. Sometimes we have to be reminded to go back to where it all began. Luke chapter 5. For me, every day I go through Clarksburg, I pass the old Clarksburg school, and for me and my Christianity, that's where it all began, my real Christianity. And I was raised in a Christian home, and my mom and dad, they brought me to church all the time. But it was over in the Clarksburg school when this church was just being founded, and Pastor Ainsworth was there. It was there that God began to get a hold of my heart. Then we moved to this building here and renovated it. But there's Peter. There he is fishing. Well, it all began when he was fishing. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse number 2, or verse number 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to bear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he saith unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the ships, both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Jesus brings Simon, you go back to the Gospel of John and we're done. Jesus brings Simon 3 years prior. 3 years prior to what we just read, where Jesus meets with Simon Peter. And they're in the same circumstances, the same thing going on. He's refreshing and renewing and reminding Peter how he wants to use Peter. And so as I've mentioned, I don't know why, but I seem to have mentioned this in the last several Sundays, sometimes it's good just to look back and to remember where God has lifted us up out of the rock. Or God has lifted us up out of the miry clay. And He set our feet upon a rock. And to be encouraged by that. And to be reminded that whoever you are, God still wants to use you. God's not done with you. Your ministry may change, how God uses you may change, but God still wants to use you. And while you have breath left in your lungs and your heart beats, God still wants to use you and do something great in your life. Amen? Amen. He does. So there's Peter, his reset. And all the other apostles are there thinking, wow, yeah. God still wants to use us. The Lord still wants to use us. And he tells Peter, Peter, you need to feed my sheep. You need to feed them. I'm not done with you. Okay, you denied me. But let's get on track and move forward. Peter knew that he had done wrong. He had wept. His heart was broken. I felt a little bad a few weeks ago. I was talking about the movie that came out about abortion, Unbroken, right? Was it? Unplanned. I told you I'm tired today. Unplanned. And I felt bad afterwards because I should have said this too, because I don't know. Listen, if you've had an abortion, it's not the unforgivable sin. But God can still work in your life and wants to work in your life. I really felt bad I didn't mention that. I think abortion is a terrible sin in our country. It's a travesty. that our God is a merciful God. That the woman that that movie is made out of, I believe if I remember correctly, she had partaken in 22,000 abortions. But God wasn't done with her. The Apostle Paul had imprisoned Christians, put them to death, but God was still going to use him. And I don't care who you are, what you've done, if you come to God with a repentant heart, he's a merciful and gracious and compassionate God. And he'll continue to use you. And lastly, the end of this chapter, Peter, though he's still learning, you know, Peter was always, he was always speaking sometimes before he should think. I think obviously as he grew in the faith, that stopped. But he's still a very young believer here. And look what it says. Verse 19 or verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also lean on his breast at supper. He's talking about John, and when that's the scene at the Last Supper when Jesus is there, and Jesus and John is leaning upon Jesus there at the Last Supper, and so Peter sees John. He's there with them while this is all taking place, and Jesus is asking Peter these questions. And Peter, in verse 21, seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, well, what about this man? What shall this man do? And I love this. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Would you just say out loud these last three words again? Follow thou me. So what I'm saying to you is this. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you or the person behind you or in front of you. What about this brother? What about this sister? This is between you and Jesus. Just do what Jesus wants you to do. When I was a fairly new Christian, that was the most liberating thought that came to me. I don't really care what this person thinks or that person thinks. I just care what Jesus thinks. And if you care what Jesus thinks, you can't go wrong. Jesus has got a plan for the person sitting next to you. But that's between them and Jesus. Jesus has got a plan for the person sitting in front of you, but that's between them and Jesus. Jesus has a plan for you, and allow his plan to be fulfilled in your life. He wants to do great things with you. And don't ever forget, what you might think is not a great thing, if you're allowing Jesus to work in and through you, it's a great thing. Amen? Amen. And so here as we finish up, that's how it all began. Jesus takes Peter all the way back to where it all began, fishing. Where did it all begin for you? Where did it all start for you? Where did the Lord find you? Where did he find you? What were you dealing with when the reality for your personal need of a Savior became real to you and truth to you, that you understood that this wasn't some religious exercise, that Jesus loved you enough to die on a cross for you, to shed his blood for you, to pay your ransom, to save you from your sin, and to give you eternal life? Where did that take place? When did that happen for you? That truth. Because often if we'll think back, that's a great way to start a refocus, a reboot, to be refreshed, to be reminded how God wants to do some great things in us. But maybe it's never happened for you. Maybe you're not even sure you're a child of God this morning. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died on an old rugged cross for you. Last week we celebrated the resurrection, but in reality we celebrate the resurrection every single... I was going to say every single Sunday. No, we celebrate the resurrection every single day. Because that's what it means to be born again. To be saved. To be a child of God. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, You must understand this. You must admit that you are a sinner, because we're born into this world with a sinful nature, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin, and if you'll call upon Him to save you. Right where you sit, you can do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank You for the opportunity that You've given us this day. Thank You, Lord, that Your compassions fail not, that they are new every single day, and each day can be a new day as a child of God, and that You desire to refresh us and to remind us of Your great love for us. But I pray if there's someone here today that has never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, that today they'd call upon Him. I'm depending upon You, Holy Spirit, to have convinced them of this and of their need. So with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're a Christian, you can call upon Him. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that. And Jesus, I believe that You died and You paid for my sin. And Jesus, today I'm asking You to be my Savior. I'm asking You to be my Savior. Come into my heart, and the best I know how, I give my life to You. Listen, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm not going to call out Your name, come to You and embarrass You. But if today you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you'd never done that, you weren't sure, but today you called upon Him, would you just slip up your hand and put it down? I have never done that, but today I ask Christ to be my Savior. Then for you that are already saved, maybe today you're thinking, you know what, I need a reset. I just need a refreshing. I need a revival in my heart, a renewal. And Lord, I don't know what it is or why it is, but I just sense that You want to do something in my life. Well, just talk to the Lord about that as we sing this invitation. Tell Him. Father, bless now as we sing this closing hymn in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going